Hello and welcome to the S Words Podcast, a roundtable discussion about pop culture subjects beginning with the letter S. I'm Kevin Chu.
I'm Winmyun Kim.
I'm Albert Liu.
And I am Amy Chanta Cerisal.
All right, so we have a special episode for you guys. This is finally a time when we take a look at the scraps bag. I know you guys have been submitting a lot of them, and we got to work through them. So why don't we do that? This episode is the very first episode of Six Scraps. We pull six random numbers, and we sign them to different scraps, and we sit some people down. They can switch seats in between scraps, and they don't know what the topic's going to be. So our very first topic...
Let's see what the dice say.
Let's see what the dice says. The first topic is Silver Surfer. We have 5 minutes. I'm counting down. Lord. We have five minutes. All right, the Silver Surfer. We were just talking about the Silver Surfer actually.
Because we were talking about reboots and how there was a Web Surfer who was basically the Silver Surfer, right?
And then I was like, hey, Web Surfer sounds like a cool way to mesh between Spider-Man and Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, they did that in Marvel Zombies. And then Marvel Zombies became terrible.
Yeah. So how did... So readers, I'm curious about this. Are there any What If comics where Spider-Man becomes a Herald of Galactus? Curious about
this. Besides Marvel Zombies. Anyways, so let's go through the usual question we like to ask each other for the scraps. What was your first experience with the Silver Surfer? Go, Albert. We only have 5 minutes. 4 minutes
Jesus
left.
Christ. Okay. I've heard about the Silver Surfer. I'm not really into American comics, so I don't really know much about him. I just know he is a Herald of Galactus, and he rides a surfboard.
Good enough for me. Nerd points up. What about you, Amy?
Fantastic Four. And he's
the
hot.
Movie?
Yes.
He's hot? Is he hot in the Dr. Manhattan, like, everything's out there way?
Oh, man, I totally remember. There was, like, something going around YouTube where I think it was someone was claiming that you could see his genitals or something like that.
Oh, in Fantastic Four 2, right? Yes, you can.
You can, okay.
You can. If you look very closely, you can even see them in the trailer.
Wow, it's the Jessica Rabbit thing all over again, isn't it?
Dude, it's totally awesome when you look for stuff like that.
For penises?
That's great.
I remember that from The Little Mermaid.
I was looking for a surfboard.
Oh, is that what they call it now?
That's what I call it.
Oh.
Actually, you know, one of my favorite Silver Surfer stories, actually the only one that I've ever read, was the J. Michael Straczynski one, Silver Surfer Requiem. It's really, really good. 4-issue miniseries. Pick it up. You can even pick up the hardcover for about $10 on Amazon used, though. I really liked it. Have you read it, Dom? I hope you have.
I have not, actually. That's unfortunate. But I do like the Silver Surfer. The Silver Surfer is... Well, he's kind of boring, honestly, but the stories that he brings along with them tend to be interesting because he's usually, as the Herald of Galactus, going, oh crap, guys, look what's behind me. And that's a great way to introduce stories. It's much better than the way the Justice League introduces stories, which is, oh crap, it beat up Superman.
Actually, the thing about Silver Surfer I think is really interesting is that most people don't actually know him for his stories, but actually because of other things like toys and cartoons and movies.
And the album, what is it, Surfing with the Alien?
Surfing with the Alien.
Oh. Satriani, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I hope I'm right.
Well, if our nerd points go down, they're going down together, Kevin.
All right, so let's talk about our number one Silver Surfer moment. What about you, Albert?
Well, shoot, I think I've already mentioned the number one moment. That's, you know, got to be that YouTube trailer, apparently.
All right, cool. What about you, Amy?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Albert on that one.
Wow, 2 for the YouTube trailer. I was kind of surprised by that. What do you think about that, Dom?
I actually, wasn't he playable in Marvel Ultimate Alliance?
Yes, he was.
Yeah. I like the fact that you could just surf around for no good reason. That
and
game
was kind
of
you couldn't
use
the surfboard to go up. You had to like climb or something. I forgot how that worked.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Oh, wait, no, I take that back. There is one other thing. The thing I do remember about Silver Surfer is that he is in a Life Force clone, and it is really freaking hard, apparently.
Oh, the Silver Surfer NES game?
Yes.
The one where you touch anything, you
and
die.
And you die, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Because the power cosmic, you know, means that you become a glass cannon, a silver cannon.
But he's riding on a surfboard in space and shooting things.
Well, I'll tell you this. I remember Silver Surfer as one particular thing from my childhood, and that back when they had comic cards, that was like a kind of popular thing for like 6 months. He had his own line of cards called Silver Surfer foil cards. Every card in it was that shiny foily stuff before they did that for everything, and it was like, whoa, it's like getting all 7 cool chase cards at once, and they have like the little bendy things in the light. So that's what I remember about Silver Surfer. So wrapping up this scrap about Silver Surfer, do you guys have any other thoughts left?
Heralds of Galactus is a really, really big category for comic book trivia, and I keep trying to look it up, and it's like, Fire Lord is where I stop. It's like, Fire Lord, Silver Surfer, and then, like, Aunt May, right?
All right, so that pretty much wraps up our episode about the Silver Surfer. Let's go into the next scraps. People want to rotate right now. We're taking a quick break. All right, so we've actually rotated, and so for the first rotation, Amy is sitting out, and we've rotated in Matt, so let's go and take a look at what the second scrap of this episode is going to be, and it is... Spike Spiegel. This is something we can all talk about. Yes. So we're talking about Cowboy Bebop. So I'm going to go with the usual question we like to ask each other. What is the very first time that you watched Cowboy Bebop?
Oh, geez.
College.
College. Yeah. Anime Club.
Kevin?
Yeah, I guess college. The DVDs were coming out when I just started college.
DVDs were a new format when it was coming out.
I remember the Cowboy Bebop DVDs were really, really popular, actually.
They were.
Because... They were like the ones everyone got, and now no one cares.
Well, people still care, but
they buy the remix one, right?
Yeah, they buy the remix one.
The DTS ones... track?
Yeah.
Man, I don't have that. I remember also when they had the limited edition box that came out with Bandai, and like people were selling those for like $100 online. Yeah. So, I mean, let's go to this then. Like, what's your favorite moment in Cowboy Bebop?
Oh, man. I guess it's pretty much spoiler-free now, right?
Yeah, it's
I mean, like, the last episode was pretty intense. It's sort of like, okay, you knew this was sort of where it was going, but, you know, watching it was still pretty crazy.
Can I have two, Kevin? I have a serious one and a silly one.
I'm wondering what your silly one's going to be.
The fight scene in the cathedral.
Ooh, okay.
In episode 4, Ballad of Fallen Angels?
Five,
one of those. It was early. And it was pretty awesome. I mean, you have that song that has no real words as he falls out the window, and you have the flashback of everything that used to happen, and you have just some serious ass kicking. It was very well integrated. It's like, it's got interesting camera angles. It's got interesting music. It's just really well done overall. And then my favorite silly moment is in the episode Mushroom Samba, where they all get high on shrooms.
Yeah.
But my favorite part of that is the blaxploitation stuff from it, where you've got that guy who's carrying around the coffin. He's carrying the coffin. It's like, this is the coffin, it's for you! And then he gets run over by a car. also the part where that same guy is, he sees everybody else and he tries to eat all of his shaved ice at once and he gets a massive brain freeze. He's like, oh no! It's awesome. And those are my two favorite moments, one serious and one really silly.
What about you, Matt?
It's really hard to choose because just everything from that show is solid gold, you know. Two that stick out in my mind, I guess, are, I believe, both from the same episode. It's where Ed and... Ed and Faye both leave for good, basically.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's the
23,
montage.
Right?
The way that they show that they're not coming back is Jet and Spike start eating all of their hard-boiled eggs, which they got from one of my other favorite moments, which is when Ed's dad does to Spike what Spike usually does to everybody else.
And kicks his ass?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of surprised no one mentioned this, but this is my favorite episode. It's the one with the mutated
toys
lobster.
In the attic.
Toys in the attic. Oh, I love... That actually... You know, I'm actually not the biggest fan of Cowboy Bebop, but the thing that's interesting to me is that I think this show ages better than it actually just comes off on the very first viewing.
Yes.
But I love that episode. It actually just feels like its own self-contained short film, and it's just like you don't need to have seen Cowboy Bebop to understand it, and it's just silly, and there's a whole bunch of tension in everything. So let's say we wrap up this scrap about Cowboy Bebop.
Wait, I have a question. Keanu Reeves is Spike Spiegel. Eh?
How about no Cowboy Bebop movie?
Yeah. Let's leave it movie. Leave it animated, I think.
But they've already signed him on.
I'm willing to give him a shot.
You know, he's not... I can't say it.
He's not that bad, honestly.
He is an actor.
You should see him in Much Ado About Nothing.
Yeah, that's
Kenneth Branagh does pretty well with him.
Mm. All right, so that pretty much wraps up the scrap about Spike Spiegel. So let's go into rotation again. Who's going to be sitting out? I think Albert's going to sit out, and Sung is going to sit in. All right, Sung, so welcome to the scraps table. This time we don't even take a break. We're so pro like that. This topic is...
Did you go pro with that belly button thing, Kevin?
I did the belly button dance at the high school talent fair.
Oh, okay.
I dated your sister for a while until you told me not to.
Oh.
Anyways, this topic is... Wow, I never thought we'd get this one. Soy milk.
Amy and Albert are now bitter because they're the lactose intolerant ones.
Well, I'm lactose intolerant as well.
Oh, wait. Then why? Oh, because...
We want to talk about it. Anyways.
All right, so this one is about soy milk. We got 5 minutes, so... Let me ask you this, like, when was the first time you ever had soy milk? And is there a reason why you may or may not need soy milk? I mean, what about lactose intolerance? What do you, are you or are you not?
My family has always been very much pro-milk.
I hate you.
So lucky.
we didn't have soy milk for a long time. I don't even know when, like, maybe junior high school was the first time I had soy milk.
But did you guys have it just for like the whole nutritional value thing?
No, it was just lactose intolerant. It was just, hey, this seems like an interesting product. Let's try it. Oh.
What about you, Matt? I know you're the non-Asian sitting here, so you may actually, I don't know. Are you lactose intolerant?
Not only am I not lactose intolerant, I've never had soy milk.
Ooh.
Oh, you get out of my house.
Now, let me ask you this. What milk do you normally have? Whole, 2%, non-fat?
Well, around the house, I usually drink 2%. I like whole if I'm just buying for myself.
Oh, whole is like liquid ice cream.
Whole is like drinking fat.
No, liquid ice cream would be heavy cream.
I'd just like to give a big shout out to all those Europeans in history who weren't my ancestors because they died out due to not being a genetic aberration that could break down milk past childhood. Thanks, guys.
What?
I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
Well, maybe we should give a shout out to our ancestors and go, damn you, why couldn't you drink more milk?
What about you, Dom? I know you've been lactose intolerant for a while. Okay, let me ask you this. When was the first time you found out you were lactose intolerant? Because that's usually a good story.
Yeah, the first time I found out that I was lactose intolerant was when I went to college, and I went, wow.
I'm having diarrhea a lot?
No, I stopped drinking milk and I went, wow, I feel so much better about myself. I don't feel like I'm a walking bomb. Because I grew up drinking milk in the mornings because, you know, we went to America and that's what Americans do. And I just thought that I was weird because I would walk around and I would be, you know, I was kind of, you know, if I'd kept going on like that, I would probably be banned by the Geneva Convention right now.
Oh, right. Okay, I'm going to tell you about this. So I've been drinking milk my entire life. And finally, I go to college and, you know, we have the dining commons in college. So I had milk every day, like usual, like I usually have for the breakfast. And every day I would have diarrhea, except for the days they ran out of milk and I had soy milk. I eventually figured this out. And my mom was like, dude, I think you're lactose intolerant. She didn't say dude, but I went over to the doctor and he was like, dude, I think you're lactose intolerant. But then he also didn't say dude. And yeah, from then on, I was like, wow, I can't have milk because I'll just have painful diarrhea. And that's my story, Dom. I was wondering if you had something similar, but I guess not.
No, it's when I stopped having, you know, like intense gas pains that I went, oh, this is not a normal state of life.
Here's a little story. So my oldest brother's old college roommate, he swore that no matter how much soy milk you drink, you won't get sick because he was also lactose intolerant. So he proceeded to drink a gallon of soy milk.
And then he got sick. Yeah.
He let it curdle in his stomach. Is that why?
I don't know. But drinking a gallon of any liquid will probably make you sick.
So right now I will give a shout out to the Taiwanese breakfast, I think it is. Right, Albert? The Taiwanese breakfast, the soy milk and the donut.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because I had that while I was in Singapore and it is delicious.
Get the salty kind?
No, I got the other kind.
All right, so this pretty much wraps up our episode on soy milk. You guys have any last things to say about soy milk, lactose intolerance, anything like that?
I'll say that I am slightly lactose intolerant, although I can still eat a lot of ice cream and be fine.
I still like ice cream, but it's like punching myself in the imaginary uterus every time.
I just want to say that Cyclops can suck it because lactase is the best mutation ever. Or keeping lactase, I mean. Shooting laser beams out of your head, pretty cool. Being able to digest milk
from cows,
a little bit better.
From mom. I hate you.
Damn it. damn it. Matt, get out of that seat and swap in Amy.
Get out of my house, milk drinking boy.
I will not have lactose tolerant people at my table.
No, I'm lactose tolerant.
Oh.
Ha-ha!
Get out of
the
here,
Amy. Is mine.
No, Amy can stay.
All right, so now we brought back Amy. And what is this topic? This topic is, 35. That is solitaire. So let me ask you guys. Classic for Windows. We have 5 minutes. When was the first time you played solitaire or discovered the joy of solitaire on Windows? And did you know how to play?
That would be Windows 98. I played that a lot. And that in like Tetris and Minesweeper. I probably Minesweeper more, but yeah, solitaire is fun if you're alone.
And when you're solitary?
And you're at the age when, actually, this is back before internet was so very accessible, so no internet porn.
Yeah, my first experience with it was as a DOS game. And
nice.
DOS.
It was a collection of solitaires. I learned Klondike. I learned, what else was there?
Spider?
Spider, Pyramid, all sorts of random solitaires. I didn't like Spider because, well, Spider solitaire is for suckers.
Okay. For me, it was also Windows 98. But yeah, that was really the only Windows game I played because everything else was on those 5-inch floppy disks. And so I played Solitaire and Crazy 8s and Hearts. How about that?
Is Windows 98 when Solitaire was introduced? I thought it was on 95, right?
Yeah, it was in 95.
Okay.
Well, I didn't see it until 98.
It's the most played game in the world, isn't it?
I think so.
It may have been 95. I'm not... Oh, no, wait. Let me think.
I don't remember
when
now.
It was 95.
I don't remember wait, having 98.
No, you are correct. Wait, no, yeah, I did play Solitaire in high school, which would have to be before 98.
Okay, all right. Well, actually, you know, I didn't play Solitaire that much, and I actually still, when I think about it, have barely ever played Solitaire that much. I mean, I know how to play it and everything, but I was once when I was playing Space Cadet Pinball.
I remember that.
Oh, the little demo for it?
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Wait a minute, Solitaire doesn't come with Windows XP anymore?
It doesn't?
No, it does.
It does.
No, it does. Under games, right?
Yes, it's under games.
Under the regular games.
Yeah.
There's Spider Solitaire, Solitaire, Free Cell.
I was always used to seeing it under entertainment. Under
accessories. Yeah, they got rid of
Yeah, see, that's how long it's been since played a game on Windows.
Do they still have Space Cadet Pinball?
I play a lot of Free Cell.
Oh,
Free Cell's cool.
I don't know how to play Free Cell.
I'm a big fan of Free Cell.
Well, you all can suck it.
I will.
My mom plays Free Cell all the time and Solitaire.
But what about Minesweeper compared to Solitaire?
I mean, I love Minesweeper.
I'm terrible with Minesweeper.
I can't think when I play Minesweeper.
I remember like I was in what's it called? Yearbook. And I just like, you know, it's one of those days where there's nothing to do. So I started playing Minesweeper, and this is the first time I guess in the class had seen anyone who is even remotely good at Minesweeper. I'm like, oh my God, how do you know where the mines are? Like, are you psychic or something?
It just reminds me of that Minesweeper, the movie trailer.
Oh wow, I see that everyone is pulling up Solitaire on their laptops now.
Wait, what is Spider Solitaire? I don't think I've ever
Spider
it.
Solitaire is really complicated if you use all four suits.
It's a game for suckers, is what it is.
Oh,
you have to.
Here's a question. Do you play Solitaire with the 3-card spread or the 1-card?
Three. One's so
easy. Well, fine. I like to win games.
Yeah, that's why I play Free Cell, is that it's a little easier. And there's actually a little more thought to it.
There's actually strategy instead of just throwing cards around.
Yeah.
Like a sucker.
All right, let me ask you this. When there's a card down, do you automatically flip it up or do you wait?
Oh, I do flip it up. I can't wait.
Yeah, I always flip them. I always flip them up right away.
Oh, yeah. What was your favorite graphic for the card?
The spaceman. The
no,
guy's
I like
face.
The fish.
Please don't tell me island. Nobody say island.
I just like the cross pattern. Nice and simple.
No.
Boring.
I don't remember the patterns. I think I picked a spider one or something like that. I don't know anymore.
Spider one's silly.
All right, that pretty much wraps up our episode on Solitaire. Anyone have any last thoughts about Solitaire? before you know, it goes in the vault.
You know, Andy, he says that he used to have free cell races in his apartment where people would just shout out a game, a number, you know, for the game. They would all do that, and they would all race to clear the spread. And it's like, what? You did that? That was your college?
Wow. I'll just say the only person I've seen in real life who will play solitaire with actual cards is Mike, one of our.
Oh yeah, players. Yeah. He totally just takes a deck and he just plays it by himself.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, Mike.
Yeah.
All right, so that pretty much wraps up the solitaire one. Let's swap out again. This is Sung swapping out for Albert. Okay, Albert. I just want to remind everyone that if you check out www.taintneedle.com. Yeah, you'll find the website for all the information you need about the Taint Needle. Thank you, Albert, for registering the site.
Wow, we just gave him free hits.
And no thank you, Albert, for putting that tag in this one is too, in this episode too.
Berkeley, send us money.
Berkeley, send us money.
All right, so let's go into the scraps. Surprisingly, we rolled a one on this one, so I wonder what number one is.
Oh,
it is strategy guides, as in game strategy guides. So game facts, all that usual stuff. So I'm going to ask you, do you usually use strategy guides?
I will use them on RPGs, and I tend not to for anything else.
Yeah, pretty much. I'll use them for RPGs, and if there's a boss that I just can't get the gimmick to, I will look it up.
Same here, RPGs and Professor Layton.
Oh!
You know, I was
destroying the fun.
Only for the puzzles I couldn't get for the life of me.
For my niece, I actually had to explain to her all of those puzzles in Professor Layton while I was helping babysit. It was like, what does that even mean? You see, the tree is... You know what? Never mind.
Never mind. This is the answer.
So let me tell you this. I used to use strategy guides for every game that was an RPG.
So you could just get all the hidden items?
I don't want to play the game. I just want the story. God, why is all this gameplay in here?
Well, and the worst part was, you know, you'd miss like, oh, this Uber item, and then it would be impossible to, you know, not grind for 10 days before beating the boss because you didn't have this one Uber item.
I hate that. But let me ask you this. Have you ever purchased a strategy guide?
I have not.
I've written one. Does that count?
What is the one you wrote?
I wrote a couple for Panther
Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball?
No. Panther Dragon Orta. I helped with the Idolmaster one that's on GameFAQs. That's Alex's. Shout out for him there.
Wow.
What else? I started writing a few for Valkyria, and then I decided, whatever. I'll just tell people.
Yeah, I've only ever bought one guide. That was for Pokemon Crystal, I think.
Wow.
Although, does it also count when you get it for free at GameStop?
Well, actually, most of mine I've gotten for free as like a deal. Like, I have one for Metal Gear Solid 4 because it came with the game, and I was like,
"But that game,
what am I going to need this for?
You barely even play this game.
I know,
either.
That's the biggest. It actually has sections about the cutscenes in there for you.
Oh my god.
It has to, otherwise...
how to watch the cutscene.
Push button A now.
Very long.
Yeah, actually, I've only purchased one that I can think of right now, and it was for Lita. When Twilight Princess came out, she didn't have time to play it and like have to discover everything, so she just said, hey, can you just get me the guide? I'm like, okay, fine. So I got the guide, and then she got to play it without having to think very much, so she got to do more homework with all the time that she had extra left.
Oh, hooray, more homework.
Yeah, homework rules.
Meow.
I'm a homework.
Meow.
Stop all the homework.
I'm the Doppler effect.
Okay.
Okay, strategy guides.
Strategy guides, yeah.
There's not much to say, right? I mean, okay, so there's one thing. So back when I first started playing Samurai Showdown 4, you know, I was looking through game facts. And I was like, oh, yeah, hey, there's this Kazuki guide. And then I realized, you know, way after the fact that, oh, yeah, I know the guy who wrote this. It's Brian Mao.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So...
Well, I mean, G wrote the guide for Shadows Over Mystara on GameFAQs.
Yeah.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So these are all our friends, and they're all...
I'm in the presence of kings.
Insane.
My second cousin Don is the guy who wrote the Radiant Silvergun FAQ up there on GameFAQs.
Can I get all your autographs later?
Only if I can sign your chest.
I thought you stopped doing that.
I'll make an exception.
Only if I can hump your leg.
Deal.
Wow.
Till they bleed.
Deal.
Let me ask you, have you ever read the GameFAQs entry for You Have to Burn the Rope?
There is one?
Spoiler, it tells you have to burn the rope.
Nice. Oh, nice.
All right, that's pretty much wraps up our episode on strategy guides. So Amy is swapping out for Matt. And this is the final one from Six Scraps. So I hope you guys have been enjoying it. We're trying to get through these really quickly. It's basically like taking a regular episode and just turning the speed up quite a bit.
Yeah.
And talking about items much less and trying to figure out what to talk about something when you don't really know much about it. So exactly. This is the final one. Scraps number 28 on the list is Star Wars the games.
What?
Yes.
The video games for Star Wars. Actually, I can talk about this one the whole 5 minutes. Anyways, let me ask you this. What was the first Star Wars game you ever played? Actually, this is interesting. We were talking about Star Wars games earlier with Super Star Wars. Matt brought it up, so I'm glad Matt is here.
Super Star Wars may have been the first Star Wars game I played. Still love it to this day. Crazy Mode 7 zero friction speeder level in there and everything.
You love how the land speeder has guns.
Yes, I do.
All right, so the very first one that I ever played was the Star Wars arcade game. It was all vector graphics, like, you know, rays, and, you know, you shot fireballs, and it was a trench run, and I sucked at it because I was 5.
I played the Atari game where it was the Hoth battle, and you would just fight against
left and right.
You would just fly, and all you would do is kill AT-ATs.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Defender, right?
Kind of, yeah. But all you would do is kill AT-ATs. There was a little radar that showed you where the AT-ATs were, and you would kill them. And that was it.
All right, so my first Star Wars game was actually Super Star Wars for Super Nintendo. And, you know, back then I wasn't actually a Star Wars fan. I think I was in, like, elementary school at the time. But it was fun to play and also fun to turn on the developer code and cheat and feel godlike, even though the game was still pretty freaking hard when you did have the cheats on. So I want to ask you guys this question. What was your favorite Star Wars game? Dom, I already know your answer, so we're going to save you for last.
Oh.
TIE Fighter is my favorite.
Yes! TIE Fighter.
I love TIE Fighter.
But not your favorite, huh?
No.
Actually, TIE Fighter is not my favorite because I never ended up playing it. I actually like
Dark.
Yeah, I know. Well, I did not own a joystick, and to this day, I still do not.
Oh, I'm just gonna buy you a joystick. Say, play TIE Fighter, and then your computer will like be like, and you'll be like zoom.
All right. So
even though there's no Doppler effect in space.
Yeah. Well, you shut up. You shut up. I think my favorite game that I did end up playing is Jedi Knight.
Oh, so Dark Forces 2, Jedi Knight.
Dark Forces 2. Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, when I was in my heavy FPS mode, and it was really fun because, you know, you had your lightsaber, and it was actually useful, you know. You could deflect shots and kill people quite effectively without using a ranged weapon. So I really liked that.
Kevin? You already said yours, or
TIE Fighter.
Yeah.
I love TIE Fighter. On my list of my favorite games, I think I listed 30 of them out. TIE Fighter is number 12, and it's the only Star Wars game on that list. So, God bless you, TIE Fighter.
It was so much fun.
Oh, I loved it. It was so much.
And there was this huge, you know, plot twist in the middle that was so awesome. It's like, wow, I'm playing for the Emperor now. Wait, what the?
Yeah. Well, actually, no, I was going to say, like, I think I've played nearly every Star Wars game for, like, about, like, a 6-7 year period. Every single one. Including the terrible Rebel Assault 2 and Force Commander and, you know, even the kids one, like, the one where you make droids.
What's the one, like, Star Wars Battlefront, is it? The one that's
basically,
like,
fun.
That's the Age of Empires, right?
Lego Star Wars or whatever?
No, the...
Battlefront is Battlefield, basically.
Oh, that's right.
I love how they just skin stuff for Star Wars. Anyways, let's start wrapping up this episode.
Hey, you didn't let me get to what my favorite Star Wars game was.
Okay.
It's Knights of the Old Republic, purely for the writing. All right, I'm done.
You don't like the gameplay? It's fun, though.
The gameplay is fine. It's just that the writing was brilliant, especially every time you had HK-47 in your party. He was just so awesome.
Did you go light or dark?
I went light.
What about you guys? I'm pretty sure we've all played KOTOR, right?
I went light. I can't go the evil route in any video game because of some strange neurotic thing.
Yeah, same here. I blame the upbringing.
It's a bit of a tougher game to go into if you haven't, if you're not familiar with the D&D rules, though.
And that's what I did, because I didn't know anything about D&D.
Do you go light side or dark side?
I never actually finished it because I didn't own a console at the time, but so I went light side because I think that was just sort of the default. I didn't want to do anything really nasty.
Yeah, on the dark side path, you end up killing a lot of your party members.
I did dark side. What does that say about my party members?
That you probably either killed them or just let them go away, right?
I let them go away.
To become one with the Force?
Yeah.
All right. And that
I
should
feel
be
weird. Like I thought more people would go dark side.
Sorry.
Well, all right. I mean, on paper, I guess it seems appealing, but you just have to be a pointless dick to everyone you meet, and yeah, that's just against my nature.
It's kind of like no fun.
All right, so that pretty much wraps up this episode of Six Scraps. And we went through Six Scraps, 5 minutes each, and we hope that, well, I think it covered everything pretty quickly for all you guys. So, yeah, we'll always be coming back to these things because they're easier to record as well.
Yeah, we should create a new tag. It's a short one.
I still think half an hour is a good amount of time. It's not necessarily short.
Half an hour is a good size, which means it is short. What?
It's not short for you.
Albert, Matt, do you guys have any shout-outs?
I don't know how to close this episode.
Yeah. I'm just going to say, Albert or Matt, do you have any shout-outs?
What was your favorite scrap of this scrap segment?
What?
I mean,
what?
Which was the one that you wish you were on, but you weren't?
Soy milk.
Soy milk.
I hate you all.
Albert, talk about soy milk quickly.
Soy milk is awesome. I grew up on this stuff. You can have it sweet. It could be savory. You can have it with like a whole bunch of Taiwanese snacks. I lived on this stuff for about a month in Taiwan.
You can put gelatin in it, and then it makes the tofu and the ginger sauce thing.
Yeah, that is delicious. It is all purpose and all good.
All purpose, huh?
It is all purpose. You can use it for anything.
That's right.
Soy milk is the Asian man's soy sauce. Wait, what?
All right, so my fridge rest wraps up. Scrap. I hope you enjoyed it. Right, Dom?
Right, Kevin.
Okay. All right, so that pretty much wraps up this episode. You can always check out old episodes, the schedule, all sorts of stuff about the podcast at www.s-words-podcast.com. And you can also email us at feedback@s-words-podcast.com. You can go ahead and send us anything, suggestions, ideas, whatever. We're always fine with it. And so let's round off this default ending with the usual thing that we like to tell everybody. You can always find Dom in his happy little place.
www.twitter.com/swords. You can't beat the tweet!
Isn't it
can't
S
beat the tweet!
Isn't it S underscore words?
S underscore words.
I'm glad this is our default one because I think it's very good as a default ending, don't you think?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
And you know, I mean, like,
what the hell is that?
Apparently, manbabies.com.
What the hell?
Manbabies.com?
All right, moving on.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
That's disturbing. All right, keep going.